Well, the New York Times calls it the best musical of this century. Who are we to argue? The Washington Post says it is the kind of evening that restores your faith in musical. And Entertainment Weekly says, grade A, the funniest musical of all time. The Book of Mormon won 9 Tony Awards in 2011, including Best Musical. The national tour is now at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady, New York, through Sunday, May 19th. The show's music, book, and lyrics are by Robert Lopez, Matt Stone, and Trey Parker. To tell us more, we welcome two men who play the role of Elder Cunningham. We'll get into why that is in just a moment. Jordan Matthew Brown is rejoining the national tour straight from the Broadway company of the Book of Mormon. And just in case something happens, he brought his standby with him. Jacob Benchwell is Jordan's understudy and is making his national tour debut. He's been with it, what, a year and a half? Year and a half. Excellent. Recently graduated from UC Irvine with his BFA in music theater. I will also disclose a very good family friend, and we are thrilled and very happy for him. So I asked if he could join us, and it's a thrill to have you both here. Thank you very much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Do you usually do interviews with your understudy?
We've never gotten to do this before. It's very exciting.
So what is the dynamic between the two of you? Because I would think, I mean, obviously you're on the road together, so there has to be some camaraderie. But then there's also basically your job, Jacob, is to just wait for him to get sick, right? I mean, is that...
Essentially, or be on vacation.
Yeah, personal days.
Yeah, but
okay, it doesn't have to be bad necessarily.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And what's nice is when I started the tour, Jordan and I were standbys together.
Okay.
So he was actually the first person to welcome me to this tour, like when I got here. And so it's been very, very cool to see him come back and take over. And
thank you.
It's awesome.
That's very cool. Just so you know, you can put the headphones on, and you have little, there's knobs there that you can turn. I know this isn't like fancy theater work. You have to do it yourself, but that's all right. Yeah. You have those things on your head, right? Glued to your forehead that you talk into on stage.
Right. We're learning something new today.
That's all right. That's fine. So before we get into the show and the role and all of that stuff, so just, Jacob, do you have to be, are you ready to go at all times during the show?
Yeah. I'm backstage every night and every day that we have a show. And
Are you like dressed and ready?
No, not dressed and ready, but prepared to get dressed and ready if something should happen.
Yeah. And so far that hasn't happened?
Not to me. No, it hasn't. But it has been known to happen in the past where, like, you know, a sickness takes somebody halfway through the show and somebody else has to run on.
Yeah.
That happened to Jordan.
It happened to me when I was standing by, actually. I went on in the middle of Act One once. It was kind of crazy.
And then all of a sudden you're on. But the audience gets that, right? I mean, they seem to be forgiving.
Well, we definitely made an announcement when I went on in the middle of the show. It was like there was a brief hold, like a very slight pause, where right before our entrance, our stage manager came over the mic and she was like, from this point on, the role of Elder Cunningham will be played by Jordan Matthew Brown. And we walked on stage.
And then they did the rest of the show.
Now, I was at a show, I think it was the mother with a hat. It was Bobby Cannavale had sliced his head open during one of the transitions.
Whoa.
And they said that they were going to hold the show, followed by a very quick announcement that said, is there a doctor in the house?
Whoa. Whoa.
And then the replacement came on. So, yeah.
Wow.
But my goodness, what a great role for the two of you to play. So tell us a little bit about Elder Cunningham, of this character, because just originally played by Josh Gad on Broadway, so the audience get an idea of the type of individual of the played here, and how fun is that?
I mean, it's a dream come true. Truly, it's a joy. It's one of those roles that I remember when the show first came out and seeing it for the first time. I saw it on tour actually in Cleveland, Ohio, and seeing that show and being able to see someone who was kind of like me, who kind of looked like me, on stage doing something and being like, wow, I would love to get to do this. The chance to do this, to have a full arc, to not just be relegated to just doing one thing. You get a full journey with this character, which is really incredible.
And you don't necessarily expect a full journey going into the show, because he does kind of come across as like the goofy side character, but there's so much more to him underneath that, and that's what I think is really exciting.
I completely agree.
But you also get a good share of the laughs.
I mean,
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's right.
I mean, that's great, too.
Yes. The audience is mostly reacting to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not any slight to the rest of the company. It's amazing, but still.
But that is kind of how it's designed. I mean, he's got some of the funniest songs in musical theater and some of the best lines as well. I mean, the dialogue is... I think the show is perfect. I think it's perfectly written. And the writers, Matt Stone, Trey Parker, and Bobby Lopez are just geniuses.
It's brilliant.
And this character in particular is like, it's a masterclass in comedy.
Really incredible is the way it is written. It's so back and forth between Elder Cunningham and Elder Price, who is his companion. The way that they feed off of each other and the way the laughs come off of each other, you don't expect it sometimes. It takes you in a place that you think the laugh is going to come here, and then it comes here, which is very cool.
The first time I saw the show was on Broadway with the original cast, and I was just blown away. And then it's just an amazing journey that the show has taken because I don't know how to say this nicely, but for as raw and coarse as it is, to be as mainstream as it has become is really, dare I say, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I always think that the comedy of it is so brilliant, and it is so, it can be coarse and it can be loud and offensive, but underneath all of that, there's this beautiful beating heart of a story.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I like to think that it is maintained not just in New York, but across the North America.
Right.
Oh, and that was my next question. So years ago, I've told Jacob the story, but I'll tell it to him again because I didn't tell it last time on the radio. I remember seeing Avenue Q one time in Vegas, and I love Avenue Q. Mm-hmm. I love that show, and my God, there were people just getting up and walking out. You
really?
Know, like puppet sex was just
too much. It took it
too far. So when you go into, what should I call them? Oh, red states. Do you have any issues, or do people know when they go in of what they're dealing with?
It depends. Sometimes you'll have an issue. Sometimes it's clear that, like, oh, if somebody walks out, maybe they haven't looked up what the show is beforehand. It's like, you know, that's maybe your fault. Like,
but I think sometimes,
before you put a couple $100 down on tickets, maybe know what you're buying.
Sometimes the thing that ends up being most fun, though, is the unexpected, the cities where you think, oh, will this play well? And then it really does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love when there's like very old people in the audience and you're like, is this going to cross a line too far? And then you see them laughing more than anyone.
And they're hungry for it. Yeah. I think that something about this show, once you get past some of the harshest edges of it, I think,
which come early,
which exactly, and I think that was really smart of the writers, because then as soon as you get past that, you get so invested in these characters and this story that people are begging for this kind of show.
Jordan, how'd you get the gig?
I auditioned. I mean, it's a dream come true. I was very, very lucky. I was auditioning towards the very end of my time in college.
Yeah,
and so
where'd you go to school?
I went to Boston University.
Oh, good for you.
And woo, Terriers! and so it was during, we had done
all these years. I didn't know they were the Terriers.
Yeah, the Boston Terriers.
Strike fear in your heart. Well, here come the Terriers.
The Boston Terriers. Terriers can be very intense.
I mean, to be fair, Irvine is the Anteaters. So.
Oh, so you're all right. I guess I would be more scared of a Terrier. Go ahead.
No, I was auditioning towards the end of college, and I was. Going back and forth to New York from Boston during times. I remember I had to go talk to the director of the show I was in, and I was like, I have to miss rehearsal because I have to go to a callback. I'm so sorry. And I got the call that they wanted me to come stand by on tour right before the final dress rehearsal of the last show I was doing in college, which was just a dream.
So when you get a gig before you graduate, well, good for you. I mean, that's good, right? That's good. Your story. I know your story, but tell me anyway.
Great. So I was also auditioning towards the end of college. I had my senior showcase in New York.
Yep.
And Mormon, I don't think they saw my showcase, but I got an email from them saying, hey, if you want to come in, we have this audition slot. So I went in and I auditioned, and then I got a call back for like 3 weeks later. And then I was in Irvine doing Avenue Q, actually. Yeah. And I had to leave a tech rehearsal because the tour, Jordan was on the tour, was in L.A. and Casey Nicola was going to be there. So they had me go in and audition for him and one of the associates. And then I did another audition that summer. It's called they call it a camp, where I went in for basically a week and learned a bunch of the show and put a bunch of that audition on tape. And then, like, a month or two after that, I got the call that they wanted me to come out on tour.
And here you are.
And here I am.
And you started pretty soon after that, right?
Yeah. So I didn't have to wait that long. Jordan.
I found out right towards the end of college, but they were like, don't tell anyone. You're not starting until the winter. So keep it a secret for this chunk of months.
Like 6 months.
My mom always jokes, and a couple of my friends from home, they always joke, they're like, it was the worst kept secret in Cleveland, Ohio. And I was so scared. I was like, I know, I can't tell anyone. And apparently the entire city of Cleveland knew eventually.
Yeah, well, because you had that too, just to a lesser degree. Because I remember when you were like, I know, but we can't tell anybody.
But we can't tell anybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because after I did my camp, I went upstate and I hung out with you, Joe.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely wonderful.
Well, that's very cool. You know, it's amazing that you think of the people there down the road. There's going to be a whole grizzled veterans of this show, you know, who are going to get around a bar someday and just tell stories. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you do that already. I don't know.
Well, at the anniversary parties, that's been very cool. When I was a part of the Broadway company, there was an anniversary party and some of the original cast members were there, or people from other casts,
cool.
And that was very cool to get to see them and hear them kind of reminisce about that experience and hear about some of the things that they remember through the rehearsal process. That was a very cool experience for me as a big theater nerd. to just be a fly on the wall for that was amazing.
So you're not coming down with anything. I probably won't get to see him play this role.
I mean, who knows? Knock on wood. I don't know.
do we need to bring in somebody with bronchitis or anything?
Oh,
no. All right. It's a delight to meet you, sir. Thank you very much for coming in. It seems to me that tell us a little bit about the rest of the cast.
I everyone's really fantastic. It's an incredible group of people, and I think the thing that's been very exciting, especially since I was a standby out here, a standby in New York, and then coming back here playing the role, it's been about 50% of the cast is new since I'm here.
Yeah.
But the other 50% I knew already. So it's been a very welcoming environment, and the mix of that has been very, very cool to be back here with that group.
And I think that the producers try really darn hard to make sure the environment is friendly and make sure that everybody kind of meshes. Because I felt that too. As soon as I got here, I felt like a part of the family, and I didn't know a single person. So, that was
well,
very nice.
Cool. All right. Well, you can see The Book of Mormon. It's the 9-time Tony Award-winning Best Musical, which is now playing at Proctor's in Schenectady through May 19th. That is Sunday. Proctors.org for more information. I know they've got a lottery and everything. Tickets are scarce, but you can still find them and figure it out.
Yes.
Proctors.org. Jordan Matthew Brown is playing the role of Elder Cunningham, and Jacob Benchimel is standing by waiting. that's his lot, standing by and waiting. Gentlemen, a great pleasure to have you both here.
Thank you for having us.
Have a blast for the rest of the week. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Again, proctors.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.